scripture is going to be in Genesis chapter 27. Actually, it's going to be chapter 26, chapter 27, but let's look at chapter 27. Genesis chapter 27, beginning at verse 14. So Jacob went out, got young goats for his mother. Rebekah took them and prepared a delicious meal, just the way Isaac liked it. Then she took Esau's favorite clothes, which were there in the house, and gave it to her younger son, Jacob. She covered his arms, the smooth part of his neck, with the skin of the young goats. And she gave Jacob the delicious meal, including freshly baked bread. So Jacob took the food to his father. "My father," he said. "Yes, my son," Isaac answered. "Who are you, Esau or Jacob?" Jacob replied, "It's Esau, your firstborn son. I've done as you told me. Here is the wild game. Now sit up, eat it so that you can give me your blessing." Isaac answered, "How did you find it so quickly, my son?" "The Lord your God put it in my path," Jacob replied. Then Esau said to Jacob, "Come closer so that I can touch you and make sure that you are really Esau." So Jacob went closer to his father, and Isaac touched him. And the voice is Jacob's, but the hands are Esau's, Isaac said. But he did not recognize Jacob because Jacob's hands felt hairy like Esau's. So Isaac prepared to bless Jacob. "But are you really my son Esau?" he asked. "Yes, I am," Jacob replied. Then Isaac said, "Now, my son, bring me the wild game. Let me eat it, and then I will give you my blessing." So Jacob took the food to his father, and Isaac ate it. He also drank wine that Jacob served him. Then Isaac said to Jacob, "Please come a little closer and kiss me, my son." So Jacob went over and kissed him. And when Isaac caught the smell of his clothes, he was finally convinced, and he blessed his son. He said, "Oh, the smell of my son is like the smell of the outdoors, which the Lord has blessed. From the dew of heaven and from the richness of the earth, may God always give you abundant harvest of grain and bountiful new wine. May many nations become your servants, and may they bow down to you, and may you be master over your brothers, and may your mother's son bow down to you, and all who curse you will be cursed, and all who bless you will be blessed." And as soon as Isaac had finished blessing Jacob, and almost before Jacob had left his father, Esau returned from his hunt, and Esau prepared a delicious meal and brought it to his father. Then he said, "Sit up, my father, and eat my wild game so that you can give me your blessing." But Isaac asked, "Who are you?" Esau replied, "It is your son, your firstborn son, Esau." Isaac began to tremble uncontrollably and said, "Then who just served me wild game? I have already eaten it, and I've blessed him just before you came in. And yes, that blessing must stand." When Esau heard his father's words, he let out a loud and bitter cry, "Oh, my father, what about me? Bless me too," he begged. But Isaac said, "Your brother was here and he tricked me. He has taken away your blessing." Esau exclaimed, No wonder his name is Jacob, for he has cheated me twice. First he took my rights as a firstborn, and now he has stolen my blessing. Oh, haven't you saved even one blessing for me? Amen. The Father's blessing. The Father's blessing. To really understand this text, you have to understand three generations. In the Old Testament time, it wasn't just that you were the father, but you were connected to your father. We don't do this so much today, but you remember our fathers. And many of, I remember, for instance, the late Deacon Dow and others of that generation. When they prayed in the name of what? Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. That was a connection between three generations. How blessed we would be if we were connected to at least three generations. Many times today, we think that God just started talking to us. But God just didn't start talking to this generation. And as, since I'm using Deacon Dow, he just didn't start talking to James Dow, who's an attorney. He started talking years ago to his father. And fact of the matter is, he wouldn't be who he is without the other generation. So here in this text, you have Abraham. God started talking a long time ago to Abraham. He called Abraham and said, I'm going to send you to a place that you don't know. Just follow my words. Abraham goes out, and Abraham, you know. And the other thing I like about this, when God deals with people in the Old Testament, he doesn't deal with perfect people. How many of you know Abraham's had some problems? He was an old guy, but he was a conniving guy. And he marries, back then they married a bunch of folk. And he marries and Abraham and Sarah, and then they have a bunch of kids, and they have Abraham and their son Isaac. How many of you know Isaac wasn't perfect either? He lied. So Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And the other thing I like about this, when you put it all in context, God made a promise to Abraham, but it did not come true until Jacob. Sometimes we think that God, we pray a prayer for God to do something for us, but sometimes he works it out through your children. Sometimes, you know, you don't always get the benefits, but how many of you know it's a good thing you can smile when your children are successful? Fact of the matter is, most of us like the fact when our children do better than we do. We expect for our children to do better than we did because they have more and they've been blessed more through the third generation. Look at somebody say, the third generation. I'm glad that we're able to stand. There's somebody in here that can stand on the shoulders of their father, and that can stand on the shoulders of their grandfathers. And you are who you are because of your grandfather and your grandmother and your father and your mother. Don't think you made it by yourself. I don't know. I wonder, do we have three generations in here today? Is there a grandfather and a father and another child? If so, just raise your hand. Three generations in the house. Anybody in here today? Three generations. That's okay. They may not be here, but I'm sure there are some three generations. And so in this text, when you read, you've got to read Genesis chapter at least 25, 26, and 27. If you just read 27, you'll just get two generations. You'll just get Isaac and Jacob. But I want you to get Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Because Abraham, he goes to where God sends him to, and he's a farmer, and he has cattle, and he has sheep, and they have to dig wells in a foreign land. When you're a farmer, you got to have water. And so they dug wells, but they're in a foreign land. And how many of you know you can make progress in your generation and somebody will come along and fill up your wells and you will be in a mess again? So he dug the wells, but he's in a foreign land. And so some strangers come along, some people that did not like Abraham came along and filled up the wells. Look at somebody and say, you can take two steps forward and you'll take five backwards. Just because your father made some progress in your life doesn't mean that everybody's going to like what you inherited. Somebody's going to cry to come and take it away. But look at somebody and say, dig the wells again. If your father gave it to you and somebody tried to take it away, look at somebody and say, you might take it away, but I'm not going to give it to you. My father worked too hard. That's one of the reasons that I'm pleased when I hear people, even though they don't want to live on the farm down south somewhere, but I want you to acknowledge how hard it was. I want you to understand the sacrifices that your mom and your dad made to provide those 40 acres without a mule. And I don't want you just to sell it to some supermarket that's going to come down the road and you forget all about the sacrifices. Every now and then you got to redig the well. Father and your mother sacrificed for you, and all of a sudden now you moved up here. You just want to forget about all that they've done for you. In this text, Abraham provided, he had a son named Isaac. Abraham dug wells, and strangers came along after they were watering the sheep, and they filled the wells in again. But the Bible says that God says, go and redig the wells. Isaac is the son now. This is the second generation. And Isaac has two boys, two twins, Esau and Jacob. Isaac is 60 years old when he has his son. I'm 61. Can you imagine? Lord help me. 60 years old when he has Abraham. That would have been enough to scare me to death. When he has. And then for 40 years. It says when Esau was 40 years old, Isaac calls Esau in and says, listen, I think I'm about ready to die. I don't know how much longer I have. I want you to go out in the fields and kill an animal, bring it back in, and prepare me a meal so that I can bless you. And you know the story about the trickery of Jacob, Isaiah sends Esau into the field, and while Esau was gone, the mother Rebekah tells Jacob about it, and Jacob goes in and lies and says that he's Esau so that he can receive the blessing. And as bad as that might sound, I don't know about you, but I'm glad God can bless a liar. I don't know about you. I'm glad that you don't have to be perfect for God to bless you. If that was the case, many of us, if not all of us, would not be blessed. But even with our shortcomings, he can still bless us. Even when we lie to get the blessing, even when we connive to get the blessing, the Lord still can bless you. But I like the fact that once Jacob lied, and Isaac blessed him, if it had been most of us, we would have said, you lied, the blessing don't count. Because I thought I was blessing Esau. And it turned out that I was blessing Jacob. I don't know how you feel about it, but I'm glad that God is faithful to his word. When God says it, he does it. And then if you read the text, it also tells us early on in chapter 26, it really does say that the younger will be the ruler over the old. So God is still faithful to his word, even though it doesn't make sense to us, but God is faithful to his word. So Jacob gets the blessing. Finally, Esau comes in. He's been out. He's the rugged one. He's been out. He's killed the venison and he's brought it back. He's prepared it. He goes in to give it to his father. And his father says, "Who is this?" He says, "It's Esau, your elder son." He says, "Well, who was that that I just blessed?" And Esau begins to do what so many of us have done over the generations. He begins to cry. He has father pain. He begins to wail. He says, "Don't you have a blessing for me? I know you blessed my brother Jacob, but do you have one more blessing for me? I need a blessing too. I expected, I am the oldest. I thought that I was entitled to the blessing." Look at somebody say, "You're not always entitled to what you think." Esau begins to cry out of his pain. "I need a blessing." But Isaac stays focused. He blesses Jacob. And there are four elements to the blessing in the Old Testament. There's four elements. The first element, if you're going to bless somebody, and even today, the first element of the blessing is that you touch the person. How many of you know we all need to be touched? Children need to be touched. I'm not talking about any sick way. I'm not talking about how that coach, abused some boys. But, we're in a generation now where nobody wants to touch it. Everybody's scared to touch anybody. Don't be scared to hug your child. Don't be scared to touch your child. Everybody needs a touch. We're in this generation where we want to hug from afar. But if you want to be a blessing to you, how many of you know there's, at least early on, your kids can't understand your words, but they can understand when you hold them. They can understand when you hug them. Touch is a part of affirming you. And I don't know, girls over the generation and women, y'all get into this hug thing, y'all will hug for 20 minutes just standing, just holding each other. Not saying one word, just holding. You know, we ain't going to do that as men. Well, ain't nobody else hug you every now and then. You all just hug yourself. I'm somebody. Little boys, we don't hug so much, but little boys will beat each other to death. And that says, "I really like you, Bop. You my buddy, Bop." But a part of receiving the blessing of your father is for your father to touch you, to affirm you. And then the second part, if you're looking at in the blessing, you read in that 27th chapter of Genesis, the second part is to give a compliment to your son, a compliment to your daughter. For every one positive thing we say to our kids, we say 10 negative things. We need to turn it around. You want to affirm, you want to be a blessing to your child, you want to be a blessing to your son, or a blessing to your daughter, give them some positive comments. That's a part of the blessing. Isaac says to Jacob, "I like the way you smell." He says, I smell the farm on you. I smell that you've been in the field. Now, that might not be a compliment to us today. But you look at somebody and say, you got to find something to compliment, whatever it is. I like your haircut. I like your shoes. I like what you did on the track field. I like what you did on the football field. I like the fact that you got it. Hey, I just like the way you take care of yourself. I find something to affirm. You want to be a blessing to your children? First, touch them every now and then. And second, have something positive to say to them every now and then. Then Isaac said to Jacob, he says, I'm praying that the dew will be there every morning. Praying that you'll have grain. I'm praying that you'll have grapes for your wine. I'm praying that you'll have some good wine. I'm praying, if you want to be a blessing to your children, you've got to make them know that they are valuable. You've got to make them know that they're somebody. You've got to tell them. Don't let the teacher be the only one telling them. Don't let some stranger be the only one telling them. You tell them. You are a valuable child. You are valuable. I just love you. You are valuable to me. You are more important than the football game. Ooh. You are more important to the baseball game. You are so valuable to me that I will put the newspaper down. You are so valuable to me that I'll actually talk to you. You want to be a blessing to your children? You touch them. You hug them. You compliment them. And then you tell them how highly you value. And the fourth thing, if you want to bless your children, you've got to look them in the present and talk about the future. I see you becoming. I see you doing things. I see you as a head up. I see you as a future pastor. I see you as a great teacher. I see you as a great parent. Your future is so bright. I need sunglasses. Girl, you're going to do it. Boy, you're going to be somebody. I can see it in you. I know you're going to accomplish great things for the kingdom. The little bit that I've done ain't nothing compared to what you're going to do. You're going to move mountains. The other thing is, you gotta mean it. And I believe in you so much that I'm going to not get the Lexus, I'm gonna ride in a Chevette. I believe in you so much that I'm not going on all the vacations I want to, I'm gonna sacrifice and buy you some new sneakers. I believe in you so much that I'm going to sacrifice that you go to college. I believe in you so much the stuff that I want to do for myself, I'm not going to do it. What a wonderful blessing to have not only a father, this Father's Day. Women, don't get mad at me. This is Father's Day. But it's a wonderful thing to have a father that touches you. And a father that gives you confidence. Father that highly values you. And a father that believes in your future. I read somewhere, children love their mother, but they follow their fathers. I like that. You get on TV, this guy's done all this, stuff. Father's been there. He gets out, hi, Mom. Love their mothers. But very often, they follow their father. I don't know if our sons and daughters will ever one day say, I will bless my father. My father's been great. But it's enough for me. In this generation, when fathers are not there, it's enough to say, my father was there. There ain't no such thing as perfect fathers. That's why I like the fact that God could bless old lying Jacob. Old deceiving Jacob.
I'm glad that he didn't take it back, because, you know, many of us, as I said, we would have took it back. And if he had taken it back, you and I would be in trouble. We wouldn't have a blessing. But when you start handing out blessings, I'm so glad, God. When you start handing out blessings, have one for me. My name on it.
Here's the other thing. Isaac was 60 when he had his children. He was 100 years old. By the way, somebody told me that Mrs. Cheney turned 103 on yesterday. Mrs. Cheney, 103.
When he called Jacob in, he was 100 years old. He said, listen, I think I'm getting ready to die. My arthritis is acting up, whatever it is. He said, I want to bless you. I want to lay my hands on you. I want to give you a positive comment. He's 40 years old. I want to tell you how valuable I think you are. I want to paint a future. I want to paint your future, that in future generations that your brothers will serve you, and nations will serve you. And when nations curse you, they will be cursed. But when they bless you, they will be blessed. That's a great future. And he was 100 years old. But probably Jacob thought he was going to die right away. How many know sometimes you bounce back? Just because you're in the hospital and you want to read the will, you think you're going to die. You know, you get a little pain, you think, oh, this is it. The brother lived by another 50 years. But he was working on his retirement program. What I like about it is things turn around, you know, and I think this is the way it's supposed to be. I talked to you about this before. You know, my mom, my father wasn't around, you know that, but my mom sacrificed for me, and she never, my mom never made $10,000 a year in her life, never. And she got Social Security. I don't know how much she gets, but I'm sure she doesn't get $600 a month for Social Security. But the Lord has blessed me, and I'm supposed to help take care of my mom. I'm supposed to. And so are you. And so when Isaac called Jacob in and said, listen, I think I'm getting ready to die, I'm going to bless you. He's also saying, you are the head of the family. Take care of your mom. Take care of your brothers. Take care of your sisters. And for God's sake, take care of me. The sheep that I'm leaving you, you did not buy them. The ground and the wells that I dug, you didn't dig them. Somebody will try to fill them in, you re-dig them. You prepare for future generations. And you and I, as sons and daughters of our parents, owe it to our
I'm not a Republican, but they're right. Don't expect,
even though I want my Social Security, it ain't enough. Who can live? What parent can live on $400 a month? Your parents and my parents cleaned somebody's house and did some menial job. And they are blessed and fortunate to live in public houses and live in senior citizens. And they are blessed to get that little Social Security check. But we waste more than $400 a month while our mothers and our fathers struggle. It's a sin against God. We ought to go in there and say, thank you for blessing my life. Thank you for making me go to college. Thank you for doing what you did for me. I'm ashamed that I waste more than you get every month. Here, Mom. Here, Dad. Let me just help you. And if I'm dancing on your toes, I'm jumping on. I know you got kids. I know you got a family. But wouldn't it be nice if we did some things without being asked? Wouldn't it be nice just to send a little check every month? And wouldn't it be nice, I'm talking to myself right now. I do send a little check. Wouldn't it be nice to give them a raise every now and then? Most of the time when the raise comes, I have to let my wife help me. Sort of like when I give a tip in a restaurant. You know, I give one thing and she said, add more. I can see somebody else out there know what I'm talking about. Usually women are more generous. And I'd be saying, listen, she's nice, he's nice, but I don't want to confuse him. I'm not trying to marry him. I ain't trying to get no date. Just want to give him 10 or 15%. The Lord requires 10. All right, we're not going there. How wonderful it is. How wonderful it is. And now, here's the point. You might not be able to get your father's blessing. Maybe your father's gone on. Maybe your father's never been in your life. Maybe he never touched you. Maybe he never said a positive word. You saw that tape. You know, many fathers, we don't do that I love you thing too well with our kids. We should, but we don't. Maybe he never told you, I love you. Maybe he never talked about how much he values you. Maybe he never called you in to say, you know, that he sees your future. Maybe he never called you in to talk to you about how bright he sees your future to be. That's your earthly father. But you and I have a heavenly father. You and I are part of a family bigger than our immediate family. You are here this morning, and I want you to know that your heavenly father lays his hands on you. And even today, when we get ready to ordain somebody, it's a matter of laying hands on that person, affirming that person. Deacons, we lay hands on. Preachers, we lay hands on to say there's something at work here that's more than human. Your heavenly father affirms you just as you are. Not because you're perfect. Heavenly Father says, I can see in you what you don't see in yourself. And your Heavenly Father says, you are valuable to me. And your Heavenly Father says, no matter what your past has been, I see a great future. Step out on my word. I see a great future for you. You are somebody. You are a diamond in the rough. I'm going to make you so. Then not only your Heavenly Father, but some of you have had wonderful fathers in your life. And some of you have had wonderful grandfathers in your life. And you are who you are because of the third generation. You didn't just start being because of your college degree. You are who you are because some father worked in a factory. You are who you are because some father worked on a farm. From sun up to sun down. And some of you were like the house Negroes. You ain't never worked on a farm. You were in the house. You went to school. He made sure that you went to school. And we owe it to our fathers. We owe it to our mothers. Because we are the third generation. The Bible says that, you know, our sins will visit us from the third generation, but so will our blessings. Never mind the fact that our sins come down. We always talking about what our fathers did, what our fathers did, or what our fathers didn't do. But what about those fathers that blessed us? It comes down to the third generation too. And I'm somebody. What I have to leave to my kids, it's gonna be whatever it's gonna be. I hope one of the things that I would be able to lead to them as a person of character, a person of integrity. One of the things I hope that I leave with a person that believed in them. I hope what I have to lead to them is so every now and then give a compliment. As I looked at this sermon, I started looking at what I didn't do right as a father and how I missed the mark. And I'm not trying to say I'm a perfect father, but I want them to know that I love them. I want them to know that I believe in them. I want them to know that I expect great things from them. I want them to know that right now I can't talk about the third generation, but I hope to God they'll know that they are second generation. And I hope they'll carry it forward. And one of these days, they will have sons and daughters, and they say, we are third generation child. And they ought to be stronger because of the third generation. How many of you know every now and then, you got to break the chain of negativity? Can't just go around talking about what your daddy didn't do, you know, what your mama didn't do. It's over. Break it. Forgive it. Get on. Break the chain of negativity and say, you and I, we are going to break this chain.